Lord God, we do just thank you that we are your family, that, Lord, you call us to love each other, that, Lord, you just long to see this world changed, Lord, changed by your love, the love that you both give to us, but, Lord, the love that you put inside of us to share with each other. Lord God, we thank you that we can be your hands and your feet to this world, that we can make you known by the way that we live our lives, by the things that we say, the things that we share. Lord, let's not be ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God. Lord, let's be bold to live lives which are radical lives, lives that follow you. Lord God, we come to your word now. Give us words to hear, Lord. Let us hear what it is that you want to say. Open our ears, open our eyes to see you and to hear you this day. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. So we're starting a brand new sermon series, which is going to take us through to about the middle of November. And it's called The Kingdom Is Like. And that title is taken from Matthew's Gospel, where when it comes to the parables of Jesus, Jesus, when he's teaching, says, the kingdom of heaven is like, dot, dot, dot. It's like the sower. It's like the seed. It's like the net. It's like the yeast. It's like the... And so our series is going to be based around some of the parables of Jesus, looking at what they can teach us in our lives. But this morning, I want to just give a bit of an overview and introduction to this series this morning. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to turn to Matthew's Gospel. And we're going to read from verse 11 through to verse 17. And it says this. Oh, sorry. Chapter 13. There we go. So Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 11 through to 17. And it says this. He replied, "The knowledge of the secret of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he does have, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to you in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, your eyes because they see you, because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." This is why it gets complicated with the parables, because that's Jesus' explanation about what they're about. And I read that, and I kind of go, huh? That makes no sense to me. You're telling people, but they're not hearing it. You're showing people and not seeing it. And that's kind of the reason why you're speaking in parables. You're going, surely, God, you want everyone to know about your kingdom. Surely you want everyone to hear this message. But before we think about maybe what that passage means to us, we've just got to think about the context into which Jesus arrives on earth. It's first century Palestine. The Jewish people who know that they are the chosen people of God are living under an oppressive regime of the Roman Empire. Time and time again throughout their history, they keep getting conquered by new powers and new people. And they have this hope, which the Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament law, the whole of the Old Testament points to, this idea that there'll be a day coming when the Messiah, someone from the line of King David, will come as a new king and reestablish God's kingdom here on earth. We'll take away all the powers that are and reestablish a new kingdom, a new power. And so for the Jewish people, at this time of oppression, they were longing for revolution. They were longing to hear something new. They were longing for something different to take place. For someone to stand up and say, this oppressive regime isn't right. These Roman people who rule over you aren't good. The kings that have been put over Israel, the puppets of Rome, aren't good. They're waiting for this new kingdom to come. And for us, the idea of a kingdom coming is a bit odd, isn't it, to us, really? We don't tend to use the word kingdoms much these days. It's a bit easier maybe for us to understand in the UK because we live in the United Kingdom and we have a monarch, we have a queen who rules. But she's a constitutional monarch. She has no real power. But the kings and the rulers of the day in first century Palestine were kings who did have power, who did have authority to do as they wished. The rulers of Rome could do whatever they chose to do. They could choose to show mercy or not show mercy. They could choose to be gracious and kind or not. At the time when Jesus is born, King Herod is on the throne, Herod the Great, who wasn't a particularly nice guy. He oppressed Israel. He used the situation he was in for his own gain. He wanted to be remembered as Herod the Great, so he built massive monuments. He built a huge area and expanse around the Jewish temple. He wanted to make sure that he would be remembered. But if you got in Herod's way, that was it. He'd just have you executed. The kings that they would understand when they hear a kingdom coming will be a kingdom with such power, such fierceness, that would scare away all the people who oppressed them. That was the mindset of Israel. Revolution was what they were after. They wanted things to change, to be different. And many people in Israel had tried to rebel against the Roman Empire, but often failed quite miserably. And then this man comes on the scene who starts talking about the kingdom of heaven, or which is what it says in Matthew's Gospel, or if you read Mark or Luke, it talks about the kingdom of God. Saying there's a new kingdom that's happening. This new kingdom is at hand. And people are getting excited because this person is talking about something new, something revolutionary. They think back to all the promises and all the hopes that they've read in the Old Testament about a day coming when God will reign and there'll be peace on earth. The sick will be healed. Those who mourn will have every tear wiped away by God himself. They are longing for this kingdom to come. But then, as they start hearing Jesus' teaching, they realize that this isn't a revolution of military might or power. That's what they had expected. They expected a Messiah, like King David, a military man who was going to come and overthrow Rome. But what they get in Jesus is someone who doesn't overthrow the empire, but ushers in the kingdom of God. Someone who does something very different to what was expected. This is a man who said, if you want to be great, you make yourself humble. That joy comes out of suffering. That your weakness makes you strong. It's like, what? What sort of kingdom is this? Where's the power? Where's the palace? Where's this kingdom happening? See, they expected Israel to be restored back to what it was. But what God's plan was so much bigger than any of them could imagine. It wasn't a plan to restore Israel, it was a plan to restore the world. To restore all people's hearts to God. A kingdom where people can be in relationship with their God and nothing hinders that. Nothing stops that. A kingdom that pushes back the power of darkness and sin. A kingdom which seeks for all people to be in relationship with God. It blew their minds. It wasn't what they were expecting. It wasn't what the disciples were expecting. A kingdom of love, a kingdom of revolution, which is all about us serving people, loving each other, serving the poor. Where's the grandness? Where's the greatness? Where's the majesty of this new kingdom? It was completely different from what they thought it was going to be. And so Jesus teaches about what this kingdom is going to be like by using the parables. He uses really, really simple stories to explain what God's kingdom is like. What it's like to be in relationship with God, to be under his rule and his reign. And he uses these simple stories. And it's funny, because when I've been reading through these parables in the last couple of weeks, you suddenly realise how short they are. You see, growing up in church, in Sunday school, they made these lovely long stories, which sort of, you know, go on for a while, and suddenly some of the parables are like two lines long. And you think, oh, there's not much there at all. But they're so profound. They're so, they are filled with so much to them. And yet Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, but I'm going to use parables so that people don't understand what I'm talking about. And you think, that makes no sense whatsoever. And that kind of starts off in the understanding of the kingdom, that the kingdom of God is a paradox. A paradox is when two things which are different are equally true at the same time. When things that don't seem to be able to go together do go together. So it's like the contradictions of, in our weakness, we're made strong. Well, how can you be weak and strong at the same time? That makes no sense. So there's this idea that the kingdom of heaven is kind of a paradox, where the simplest things hold the most truth. And actually to know lots of information doesn't actually get you anywhere. Jesus tells parables so that anyone can understand it. You see, think about the day when Jesus came into this world. The people who were religious knew the law inside out and back to front. They knew exactly what the law meant, how to interpret it, how to understand it. And they would lord it over people who didn't understand. And they'd say, I'm more holy than you because I know more about God than you do. Therefore, I am more holy, I'm a better person than you. If Jesus came into the world teaching very clearly about the kingdom of heaven, do you not think that people would take it, the people who are the religious leaders of the day, would take it, store it up for themselves, and then lord it over the people who didn't understand and didn't know? Jesus speaks in simple stories so that anyone can come to God. He doesn't try and come with a massive theological argument about how to understand the kingdom of God. He comes and says, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's tiny, it's small, it's nothing. But when planted in the ground, it becomes this huge thing. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a sower who goes out to throw seed. Some falls in good places, some falls in bad places. When it falls in the right place, it grows into something incredible. The kingdom of heaven is like someone who builds their house on a solid foundation rather than on sand. He says things which were so simple that people who were so intellectual couldn't understand them. Because people who are intellectual sometimes want to overcomplicate the simplicity of the message of God. God's kingdom is for everyone. Everyone to come, everyone to understand. The reason why Jesus spoke in parables was, first of all, there was a promise that that would be the case. And in Isaiah it says that Jesus would speak in parables. He's fulfilling the Old Testament. So there's a purpose to it. There's a promise from that. That's one of the reasons why he speaks in parables, to fulfill the Old Testament. But he does it to show people that you can be anyone, that the kingdom of heaven is for all people. It doesn't matter who you are. It's not something grand and great and massive which you have to try and get better to enter. It's simple. God was real with his people. He spoke to farmers and said, it's like farming. He spoke to people and said, to shepherds and said, the kingdom of heaven's like herding sheep. He wants to explain the gospel in simple terms. But why do people then hear these things and not understand? That seems a really odd thing to say. What Jesus is saying is this is a revolution of the heart. This isn't a revolution of power which can be lorded over people. It's about God changing you to change this world. And like the mustard seed, it's planted and it grows. The parables are there to be something which is a truth which grows inside of us. And as we walk more with God, the more understanding we gain, the more we understand of who God is. It's like a seed that's planted. That's what it's about. That's what it is. And do you know when you are in your family or you're around some friends and someone new comes into that group and you have an in-joke which you share and the person on the outside goes, what on earth are you talking about? And you're all rolling around in fits of laughter and giggles and you understand it completely because it's your family joke. It's what's your in-joke. You understand it completely. But someone from outside just doesn't see it. That's what the parables are like. It's saying when you're in the family of God, it's like that's the message for the family. You'll understand it. If you're in Christ, it makes more sense. But if you're outside of the family of God, you'll look at it and go, what a bizarre thing to say. I don't understand it. And it's like that. That's what the parables are about. It's saying when you're suddenly in the family of God, it makes a heck of a lot more sense. And it's like that in-joke that you have within your family or amongst your friends. And someone from the outside goes, I don't understand this, until someone explains it to them and invites them into that family. And what God is saying is, I want to invite people into my family. I want you, as followers of Jesus, to invite people into the family so that they can gain the Spirit of God and gain understanding about the simple truths of the gospel. That's what it's about. We invite people to come and understand, to come and hear, to explain the in-joke of the kingdom with people. And you say, the in-joke of the kingdom is this, that the kingdom of God is a place where with the power of God inside of you, when you see the sick, you can proclaim healing. That when you see someone who's poor, you provide for them. When people are hurting, we love them and we cherish them and we come alongside them. The kingdom is a place where all the wrongs of this world start to be put right by God. Jesus came into this world to say how this world has got through sin, through us making ourselves the king of our own lives, has messed up. It's messed up. And that's where there's suffering and hurting and pain, and it's rubbish, and God hates it. But he says when we start living in the kingdom, the in-joke of that, the secret of the kingdom of heaven, is the fact that there's a paradox. Actually, if you're the weakest in the kingdom, you become great. That when you feel like nothing, God makes you everything. It's not a kingdom of grand power. It's a kingdom of revolution which stirs people's hearts to say, actually, you have a purpose. You have a value. God loves you. God cares about you. And that can change the world. We sang that song before we came to the sermon, and we're called by God to love each other. And love is the key to the mission of God. To show love. Wherever we see a darkness in this world, we proclaim light by loving. By loving people as God loves us. It's so simple, but it's radical. It's revolutionary. And it doesn't make sense to people from outside of the family. Why on earth would you give money away when you can help for yourself and buy the things that you want? Why on earth would you spend time with people who you don't like? Why would you spend time with people who are a different class to you? See, what Jesus did in his life, he shows what the kingdom was like. Yes, he healed the sick. Yes, he fed the hungry. But he also broke down other barriers and said, I as a man, I'm going to spend time with women. I'm going to spend time with people who are poor. I'm going to spend time with people who no one else will spend time with. I'm going to spend time with people who are prostitutes to show them that they are loved as well. There's no hierarchy in the kingdom. It's saying everyone is welcome. The kingdom of the earth, the kingdom of the world, says if you do certain things, you have no value. You should feel ashamed. That's the power of sin. But the kingdom of heaven says we break down those barriers so that all people are welcome. When people look to the Christian life and they think, why on earth would you live that life? They're not going to understand it because it's radical. It's revolutionary. It makes no sense because it works on a principle which is not of self, but of God. You serve other people. And that the more you give out, the more grace you receive from God, the more you receive. The idea of sowing and reaping, the more you give out, somehow the more you receive. That's not necessarily always materially, that can be spiritually, that can be in all sorts of different ways. Actually, the more we give, the more grace we receive, the more love we receive to be able to give even more. The greatest paradox of the kingdom, I'm going to close with this, is to gain life, you must die to self. The greatest paradox ever. That if you want to receive the fullness of the kingdom of God, you have to die to gain life. That makes no sense. But what God is saying is, are you prepared to put aside your life, the way that you choose to live, and choose this radical life for God? Because this radical life of love for God is where there is life, because there is love. And love always lasts, because God is love. Love cannot die. One of the other reasons that the kingdom of heaven was hidden was so that Satan didn't know what was going on when Jesus was on earth. You see, if Satan had known why Jesus was in the world, he would have done something different from what he did. But Satan thought that by getting Jesus killed would stop this revolution of love. But what happened was, by Jesus dying and sacrificing himself for other people, suddenly there was life for everyone. And by the time that Satan had realized what was going on, it was too late. The power of God had flooded the world. That love could be open to everyone. So the call to follow Jesus is to die to self in order to gain life. And it's not just life for the here and now, that is life for eternity. Life that is everlasting with our God and our King. God's kingdom is not like the kingdoms of earth. It's a kingdom which is cosmic, which lasts throughout all time. And it can dwell here on earth by you and by me. When we live a life of love, it proclaims the kingdom of God in the here and now. And when we as the church gather together as people of God's love, when we live that life, we make the kingdom bigger and bigger and bigger. Imagine a really dark room and then someone lights a candle. It's quite bright, but it's still a lot of darkness. But the more candles that are lit, the brighter it gets, the more the darkness is pushed back. And when we live lives for the kingdom of God, it's like being lighting a candle in the darkness and saying, do you know what? The way this world is rubbish. It's like darkness. But I'm going to spend my life following Jesus So in my life, being a beacon of light, so that people's lives can be radically changed, so this world can see finally what it is that Jesus is talking about. The kingdom of heaven is a revolution of love. And the parables, as we come to hear about them, as we learn from them, will teach us about what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. What it is to live a life for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you came into this world to say that actually the way it was not your best. Lord God, we thank you that you showed us the way to live. That, Lord, you showed us a love which was sacrificial. You gave your life for us. And that, Lord, when we give our lives for you, we find life. Lord, we thank you that in your kingdom, all are welcome. All are invited in. Lord, help us be people who understand what it is to be people of the kingdom, citizens of heaven, living lives of love. Let us be a church which is radical, radical in love, to change lives, to show people that there's a God in heaven who cares about them, a God who cares about people of this world, a God who is not happy that there are people in the world who are starving, that there are people in this world who receive injustice. Lord, and all the other things that there are which are not of your heart, help us be your hands and your feet in this world so that we bring beacons of light and truth, ushering in the kingdom of God more into the here and now. Lord, we thank you for the words of the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, let's live lives which honour that prayer. And Lord, let's make it our own. Amen. Amen.